Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Houdat Nation, we are on the Ciroc Point after the following the Saints 27-19 loss in Tampa Bay. I don't know, Cajun Cannon, we've been saying it all season long, another tough loss for this black and gold squad. Today, we've heard it from Deuce and everyone else, just basically another tale of two halves for this team that had a lead on Tampa Bay, just couldn't hold on in the end.
Yeah, it was the same song and dance. When you look at it, you got to play four quarters. You cannot just play, and that being, Spencer Rattler, he's kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He was, really the past two games, if you look against the Raiders and Tampa Bay, outstanding in the first half. Now, teams are going to make adjustments. I thought a couple of times, just a little inaccurate with his passing, that, you take for granted how accurate Drew Brees was. And, if a receiver is a lot open, you got to hit him in stride. You can't throw it behind him. You can't throw it too high. So I just thought a couple of passes just inaccurate. One pocket presence he had a good pocket. Then he steps up into the sack with Vita V. Not saying he was rattled, but to me it was just a little too consistent what you need from him to end the game. It just seems like, I don't know, it can go wrong, goes wrong at times. And you might have seasoned veterans and just get stupid penalties, like Foster Morrow. All of a sudden, he got a 7-yard gain, and he gets a penalty. What, he tossed the football at the Bucs bench and all that? It's just a lot of mistiming as far as penalties go. You have positive and negatives every game, but we finally forced a turnover. We had gone the past six weeks without forcing a turnover. So that was good. It was monumental compared to last year on a negative side. We were plus 11 in turnover margin last year, where we were plus one for the game, but we were minus two for the season. So that's one reason why, you only win, five games. I'm still on the coaching show. I'm asking Coach Riz. I still want an explanation. That to me it was ridiculous, with the penalty. You can't pretend you're slashing a throat or shooting a gun or any kind of celebration. So my understanding, it's a post-penalty after the play. So they had first and goal from the 9. So then if they got unsportsmanlike conduct, so that should be a 15-yard penalty. Should have been first and goal. At the 24-yard line instead of first and 10. I don't know. It seems like New York was calling. Oh, you can't put Tampa Bay in a bind like that. We can't have that. I don't know. That looked a little shady there. But that'll be interesting. And then, I don't know, there was one hit over the middle. Honey Badger really don't want to hit nobody today. I mean, they called a penalty on him. I think they end up maybe making contact with one another, the face mask or the helmet. And he had his shoulder in there, but he was almost like taking the blow. And they called that a penalty. I mean, how can that be roughing? So, and then I don't know. Next year, you know what I want to see? We don't let the damn quarterback run whenever he wants to run. And just do whatever he wants to do. I mean, Baker Mayfield can scramble. But it's not Jayden Daniels. It's not Lamar Jackson. No. He's better than Matthew Stafford and or Jared Goff, whoever you are, even Sam Darnold. But that's unacceptable. Baker Mayfield runs the ball for 9 times, 68 yards, 7.6 yard average. Had a long gain of 28. I mean, and then at times too much time to throw. He can make a sandwich back there. Too inconsistent with the pass rush and too inconsistent in containing the quarterback. Now, looking at another undisciplined play, like, come on, that's being selfish. Nathan Shepard at the end of the game. Okay, the play's over. Why are you going to go over the pile and pin the offensive lineman, push him over? They're going to call that every time. You cannot do that. I don't know. That's a selfish act on a veteran player like Nathan Shepard. I think Foster Moreau maybe got caught up when he threw the ball, but that was unacceptable. This is a couple of things that aren't acceptable. I don't know. I'm the first game we play next year. Okay, can we hold an opponent under 5 yards rushing? I don't know who's going to be on the team or who's playing run defense. But right now, I tend to bet on that whoever we play in the first game, they're going to average over 5 yards a run. And that's what happened again. The Raiders were dead last rushing the football at 77.5 yards. Well, they had like 88, I want to say, in the first half. Ended up with 150, somewhere around there. Well, looking at Tampa Bay. Had 31 rushing attempts. They averaged 5.8 yards a carry. Like I said, we've given up 5 yards on the season. You got to count the quarterback. Everything counts when you're trying to stop running the football. Now, when you try and control the ebb and flow of a game, you know, third down. You could say it doesn't matter what you're doing first and second down. You don't want to be behind the chains or you want to be in manageable third downs. Well, look at our offense. Our offense has been terrible this year. On third down, you need to be like mid-40s. And that's when you're efficient and you're getting it done. I'm not saying you even lead in the league, but you got to be, I don't know, at least 44, 45%. We won third down offensively. We were 36% coming into the game. But today, we were 3 of 13, 23%. Guess what we were against the Raiders? 1 of 10. We were 1 of 10 against the Raiders. And at one time, we were 0 of 9. I want to say we were 0 of 9, and that the 1 of 10 was right at the end to convert on third down. So you're not going to win too many games like that. That's Coach Ridge, you mentioned that. And defensively, I mean, look, today we gave up. They were 10 of 16, 63%. Won this season, we gave it this is okay, kind of with 39.5%. Now, when we've been at times, we've been like we're rolling on third down defense. That has to be low 30s. Something as simple as you think it's not a big difference. No, like 39.5% versus 32.5%, that's a big difference when all said and done. And I don't know just how teams move the football. It might say, well, it wasn't throughout the game, but like a tale of two halves, whatever. All the last two games, we gave up basically 900 yards of offense in two games. 890 to be exact. 890 yards to be exact. So I say that I'm around that. I must say we gave up 900 yards the past two games. Now, and Tampa Bay was somewhat trying to give us the game. Now, you know, I always say nine penalties are 100 yards or more. We had 8 for 77, so we were on the cusp. But they had 12 penalties for 90 yards. So that's like giving up a touchdown. So really, it was almost like a pick'em type game when you look at that. Nothing like the point spread when you think about it, that we were a 14.5-point underdog. It's short. The first half looked like, does Tampa Bay know that if they win this game, they win the NFC South? I mean, they were given nothing the home crowd to cheer for. That's why when you got them down, you got to kick them when they're down, and you have to keep them down. That was not the case, and that was frustrating because you know, when you got an opponent down, you got to keep that momentum. And I just think we've been too much on a roller coaster there. Like, for instance, Juwan Johnson. Juwan Johnson, to start the game, was he on fire or was he on fire? His first three catches, 19 yards, 15 yards, 26 yards, 60 yards receiving. The first half, he had five catches, 69 yards. Well, he ended up with six catches, 80 yards. I don't know. We didn't run no plays maybe to get him open, to give him more opportunities. All of a sudden, I don't think Tampa Bay was always double-teaming him. So that was puzzling there. But I think this is not a good formula. I don't care who you're playing, how you're trying to win. And the way we're structured, Spencer Rattler threw the ball 42 times, and we ran it 19. Now, maybe at the end you have to pass because maybe you got to play catch-up. But it seems like, well, Bobby, we didn't have Alvin Kamara. We don't have Taysom Hill. So maybe we cannot, we don't need those rushing attempts. I still think that whether it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who just came on board, or Jamal Williams, Jordan Mims, whatever, you got to attempt to run the ball. We only average 3.5 yards a run. Like I said, they average 5.8. But a young quarterback, I don't think that's good for Spencer Rattler having to throw 42. I'd have rather him throw it 32 and we run 29. Just to ebb and flow. But I'm just questioning Coach Kubiak in that regard. Because you look at the balance with Tampa Bay, they ran the ball 31 times, and Baker Mayfield threw it 32. Yeah, it definitely was kind of cheap at the end, trying to get Mike Evans, to tie with Jerry Rice to get 1,000 yards. And when you look at it, it was cheap. You know what it kind of remind me of? Well, twofold. Mike Evans, the Houdat Nation, we don't think he's necessarily the most, now Tampa Bay might love him, or his teammates, not necessarily the most upstanding citizens. I remember when he was, that was kind of a punkish act, when he went and punched Marshon Lattimore and bagged the head. When all of a sudden he didn't like what was going on in the field. I don't know, that's not, that's unsportsmanlike, I'd say the least. And it kind of reminded me how they got the record. You know what it reminded me of? Now, if I can recollect, and kind of when Michael Strahan got this, the last sack,
I was thinking the same thing there.
On Brett Favre, okay, we're just going to give it to him, so he's going to have a record. Or even Pokemon, how about we give him a touchdown when we're supposed to kneel down on the ball? You know, I look at that, to me, that's not gamesmanship. I don't know how you're supposed to fight. I think, Deuce or Charlie, we're all talking about this. I don't know, at the end, we might give up another touchdown, but Mike Evans ain't going to catch that ball. We might, instead of bracket him and play him short and long, we're going to put four guys on him. And we might tackle him and get a penalty, but he ain't catching another ball.
Hold on, Bobby. We're going to pause 10 seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon, pick up right there.
Yeah, and, he needed 85 yards, and I think he got nine receptions for 89 yards, so he's over 1,000. And I'm not hating on him. Listen, if I was a teammate of his, I'd be all, we got to get him another ball. Because you won this. That making that one catch at the end, that's actually $3
million. Just enough time to do it.
It's like an extra $3 million bonus.
Yeah.
I had told you that story before with me, right? That $250,000 bonus?
Mm-mm.
I told you, okay. This is 1987. And adding my contract, I had to start 12 games or more. We play in 16. I get a $250,000 signing bonus. So all of a sudden, we play in the Bengals. My knee's hurting, and it's all swollen and stuff. And we're already in the playoffs. That year, we went 12-3, was a wild card. So we're getting ready to play Green Bay at home. And so Mr. Finks, the general manager, says, well, Bob, you need to sit down and get ready for the playoffs. You know, because your knee's all messed up and all that. I said, no, I'm all right. I'm going to start next week. My knee's all right. Well, to show you how I was going to make my knee all right, you know, you have the hard days of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I got my knee drained Wednesday and shot up, and I got my knee drained on Thursday and shot up so I could practice. And I got it shot up for the game. Huh. And so I said, because you say, if you don't practice, you can't play. So I said, all I got to do is take the first snap. I said, I ain't giving up that damn $250,000. Now, I told Mr. Finks, I said, I'll save myself in the playoffs if you give me that bonus. Oh, we're not going to do that. I said, well, damn it, I'm playing. ain't no way I'm not playing. I even told Dave Wilson, you know, first round supplemental draft pick. You remember from Illinois. He's the only rookie to ever win a game for the Saints as a rookie. Spencer Rattler had a chance to win a game as a rookie. It didn't happen. Dave Wilson's the only one to do that against the Rams. Well, I told Dave Wilson, if they tell you starting instead of me, I tell you right now, I'm going to give you $50,000. I'm starting that game. I might cause chaos. I'm running out there on the field, and I had the team have my back. I'm running down the field. I'm just running a toss sweep to Dalton Hilliard. Then you could come in. But ain't no way in hell I'm not taking that that snap. See, if I don't know, you can even look at him. I think I threw a couple of touchdown passes, ended up playing the whole game. But it's like, It just shows you the business side of thing, and that's why the Buccaneer teammates.
But wanted now, to get that from Mike. Right.
Now think about now. It's changed 1987 to 2025. Now a 2024 season. Now I'm talking about 250,000, but it's kind of relevant. Well, now it's up to like 3 million. You know, you do this one thing, and you got an incentive clause, a bonus to get that. So that's why when I look at, okay, now if your opponent or your teammate, yeah, Tampa Bay's all for it, but and the ebb and flow in the competition in a game, it's just cheap. It seemed cheap the way he got the record, because normally the game's over, you kneel down. And it seemed like, I don't know, the Saints went along with it. I don't know if they knew that Mike Evans could have the record then, but they should have went up and put four guys on him or something, or just let Baker throw to somebody else who's wide open, because you know they would have tried to force it to Mike Evans. I don't know. It looked like it was almost staged the way that ended up happening. But I don't know. I went off on a tangent there. But look at Steve. I think you did a good job with Nephi Sewell. And looking at what he was able to do, and that's what you want as a player. You know, he got the Ed Block Courage Award.
Right.
You know, coming back from adversity and injury. I think I told you that. You know, I won that award in 1996.
I did not know that one.
Because, yeah, the players vote on you. Get to go to Baltimore. Ed Block was a famous, like, I want to say equipment. No, not equipment guy, trainer with the Baltimore Colts. So each player, each team nominates a player, and you get to go. It's a nice banquet in Baltimore. It's, like, awesome. So Nephi Sewell, the players vote on him because his comeback. So here he has eight total tackles. He gets a sack, a quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss to lead the team. DeMario Davis had nine total tackles. But overall, there's going to be a lot of different players on the team next year. It just is. And we're going to do shows coming up in the off season. Okay, where do the Saints go from here? Again, we could break down even on this show, the point after. Okay, who's going to the Pro Bowl for us?
Nobody.
Now, there might be an alternate, whatever. But right now, and now, last time this happened, I think 2016, we all know how the magical draft of 2017 was. So maybe that might be a good omen.
I'll take it.
Considering
right.
Now, I still don't know how J.T. Gray is not only a Pro Bowl special teams player; he's all pro. He was leading the NFL in tackles on special teams. There is not a game. Let me check and see. J.T. is not a game that he does not come out with a special team tackle. Did he play? I don't. He didn't get a tackle today. Because I'm telling you, he's always on this list. He's always getting an unassisted tackle or assisted tackle on special teams. But it just goes to show you, young players, I'm not talking about good or very good. Charlie, who are we taking? Are we drafting ninth right now? Or eight? Are we ninth or tenth? We don't know.
Yeah, right now we are nine.
Okay, we are nine. Whoever we pick at number nine, the Who Dat Nation does not want to hear, we're going to develop this guy.
Please.
You got to be patient. 2 or 3 years. We don't want to hear none of this Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner stuff. Oh, look at the upside. We want somebody who's going to come in here and be able to play from the get-go. Ain't no development from the get-go. And that's why we were talking about, okay, is it there in interior lineman? Mike, we talked about this in the pregame from University of Michigan. But he might be gone before the Saints. Michigan Wolverines have a couple of players. So how do you wheel and deal? All I know is we cannot be giving up 5 yards a run week in and week out.
To everybody.
You might be the same song and dance. You might not even be 500 when all said and done. But a very disappointing end to the season, winning only 5 games. And, you know, I could say this. And this is because your teammates having your back. Did we win a game without Derek Carr? And how many games did we won? 5. Okay? So the point I'm making, I think Derek Carr can make the difference.
Clearly, he's
now,
a difference
think about
maker,
this,
right.
Of like 3 to 4 more wins. But where does that get you? 8-9, 9-8. I don't know. You're hovering around 500. That's not for sure you're in the postseason. Well, I can tell you this right now. The year I held out, when they had Steve Walsh and John Forcade, and the Dome Patrol had my back, we were 8-18. And he said, Bobby, you made all the difference in the world. If you play, we're 11-5 or 12-4. 3 or 4 game difference. And you know what? Ironically, if Forcade or Walsh would have worked out, I never would have came back to the Saints. Finks wouldn't have. He'd have let them be the quarterback. But Coach Mara, he had my back behind the scenes, said, I'm not signing an extension unless you bring Hebert back. Brought me back in 1991. We won the NFC West. We finished 11-5. So I'm just telling you history, what happens when the quarterback can make that kind of difference. I'm not saying Derek Carr is bringing us to a championship. I'm not saying Bobby Hebert would have brought you to a championship. But all I know is you talk about wins and losses.
You're going to be a competitive team at least.
Yes, and what happens? Well, without Derek Carr, no. We're not hovering right now around 500. And so what's the rumor? We're going to go get the Giants quarterback Jones, who's now with the Vikings? Daniel Jones? Okay, the Who Dat Nation, Daniel Jones, then they're going to say.
They
don't want to hear that. They're going to say, what, we're going to do Daniel Jones? We might as well stick with Derek Carr.
They'll take Rattler over Daniel Jones, I think.
And maybe Mickey Loomis remembers Daniel Jones had an outstanding game against the Saints in the Dome.
Well, we don't have Saquon.
Yeah, I remember that game. I still don't know how we lost that game. That game, we were winning by 11 points with 8 minutes left. We end up losing. Now, the one thing Daniel Jones definitely would have over Derek Carr, he can run. He's like a poor man Josh Allen running the ball. And kind of like Justin Herbert, but he ain't no Jane Daniels or Lamar. You know, like it's different kind of mobilities.
Right.
I'd say Daniel Jones can run better than Baker Mayfield. Look how Baker Mayfield ran all over us today. And I don't know. You go on and on. All I know is 5 wins, ain't getting it done. And it looks like it maybe was going to happen. Oh boy, the Saints, boy, you beat Tampa Bay. And then, I don't know, Carolina and Atlanta went into overtime. Who ended up winning that?
Carolina ends up coming out on top.
That would have been a great finish for a disappointing season. Saints beat the Bucs. They're back into the playoffs, and Atlanta loses to Carolina.
He ends up being 44-38 Carolina.
Man, the pros, you never know. I think the team next year, there'll be a lot of different faces. And you know, people can comment, do you trust Mickey Loomis to pick the next head coach? Because I think he's the one in charge and have that authority. Then is Gail Benson and Dennis Lauscher, they're trusting Mickey to pick the next coach who's going to be for the Saints.
You heard the Cajun Cannon. Want to hear from you. Sound off here on the Ciroc Point after the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. Getting to your calls right after this. Stay tuned here on the Ciroc Point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point after. Celebrate life responsibly. The day after the Saints score a touchdown, you can get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Got all our callers lined up here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can sound off too. It's 504-260-1870. First up, we go to Zoe in Dallas. Zoe, what you want to say tonight?
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing, man?
We're hanging
all right,
there.
Zoe.
Hey, how y'all doing? Say, man, I just can't understand how they let Mike Evans get this record, bro. If you look into all these players that set a lot of records over the NFL, I guarantee you the Saints name is up there on the list, bro. They give up a record, seems like, every week. And one more thing, Bobby.
Well, we gave up a record. Hey, hold on, Zoe. I think Walter Payton got the record on the Saints. Tampa Bay broke their consecutive 26 straight losses record against the Saints. No, that's a good point you bring up.
Yeah, and one more thing, Bobby. I know they have a process doing hiring head coaches. If you could hire a head coach right now, who would you pick?
Steve was telling me that we just had a fired by.
Breaking news, the Patriots have fired head coach Gerard Mayo after one season.
After one season, no, it's going to happen. 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. And I'm telling you, because the owners. After the 2025 season, I'm telling you right now, 6, 7, 8 coaches will get fired every year. So you there's no patience.
Dennis Allen.
But you know what I'm saying? So like here, Gerard Mayo, in 1 year, watch Antonio Pierce at the Raiders. 1 year, he might be gone. It's just it does not matter. Now, as far as though, who you think the Saints, I'm a Dan Campbell fan. Maybe I'm old school about that. I like Coach Vrabel. I think he might have more than one choice as far as opportunities where he wants to coach. All I know is I look off the top of my head, I want to say with the Titans. He was able to take them to the playoffs three times. He was a number one seed one time. I think he knew how to utilize Derrick Henry. Now they had Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, not necessarily what you consider like an unbelievable franchise quarterback. So I would say that'd be my first choice. Second choice, I like Ben Johnson over Aaron Glenn. You know, Detroit, that's a hot team.
You want to go more offense.
Go more offense. And I look at like Ben Johnson over Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn, to me, we run the same defense as Dennis Allen. You know, who you coach with it and the things you do. Now, I'm not saying it's
DA's defense was good for a while.
Yes, yes. No, look, the Lions' defense was good for a while till
all the injuries.
Yes, you get the injuries. But I think I'm thinking more offensive-minded when I say Ben Johnson. Now, I don't know. He didn't look that special. I mentioned him, Stephen Charlie, the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay before the game.
Cohen.
Yeah, end up mentioning him. Because look where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where their offense was ranked. I mean, that's not an opinion. They were fourth in scoring at 30 points a game, third in total offense, fourth rushing, third passing. So I said that's like almost a poor man, Ben Johnson. So I take the approach, Zoe, that I think that we don't need to worry about if they have any past relationship with Mickey Loomis or the Saints organization. You know, okay, what are the connections? Connect the dots. Okay, well, I'm familiar with him. I think almost we need to mix it up. We don't need, again, because them days are over, we don't need no Sean Payton connection. You know, like, oh, well, Sean Payton, there's a connection there. You know, the whole Sean Payton, Drew Brees thing. We don't need any of that. We need somebody who might need to shake things up a little bit. I mean, and go that route. You know, we tried the Dennis Allen thing, and, you know, Coach Rizzi's going to be interviewed. Who knows? The new head coach, he might not be comfortable keeping Coach Rizzi around as the special teams coordinator, but Coach Rizzi is that good. Somebody will hire him in the NFL, the 32 teams, or he might be comfortable to keep him on board. Like Dennis Allen kept Coach Rizzi on board. But once you're a head coach, you all want to be a head coach. All I know, you have a great living. As a special teams coach, you do that 20, 30 years in the NFL. So I don't really know what route they're going to go as far as with the Saints. I can tell you this. I think Jeff Duncan might have mentioned this, or Steve, a number of people. Coach McCarthy. I don't want him.
Dallas gonna be right.
He's like, oh, he's like old fart. That's old with Dallas. All I know is he won a Super Bowl. And three straight seasons, he won 12 games, 12. Now, they didn't win anything. Right now, we're just trying to be relevant. When you take that, we're trying to get to 10 wins. Can we get to double-digit wins? You know, I'm talking about not 12 and 5. You know, I'm just talking about how about 10 and 7, you know, stuff. So that's another name out there. So Mike McCarthy, that I still think somebody would hire him. A lot of times, there's not enough quarterbacks to go around. To me, there's not even enough coaches to go around who you could trust. That's why you see coaches getting fired after 1 year. Oh, I don't like that direction. And the owners have no patience, so they're going to do something else. Now, the organizations that have patience, and Mickey Loomis thinks that's the Saints, he'd want to have this, but then you got to win, would be like the Baltimore Ravens. Look at the Baltimore Ravens. Who they had? Billick. Right. Billick, and then they go from Cleveland to Baltimore. Who do you remember? Like Billick and John Harbaugh? And then look at the Steelers. What'd they go with? Chuck Noll. And then they go with DeJaw.
Coward.
And then look and then look who they have now.
Mike Tomlin.
That's it. And then you see, what? Look, some other teams, they have two handful of coaches.
We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After, getting to all your calls right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Want to remind folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their donations this season, after the Saints racked up 240 receiving yards today, is now $37,300. So thank you, Venture Global. Back into our phone lines here on the Ciroc Point After. You can chime in, 254-260-1870. One of our faves, Cajun Cannon, Hollywood and Thibodeau. You are up. What's going on, Hollywood?
Hello, Bob. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, Hollywood. What you got, man?
What I got, I want to thank y'all for having me on the show this year.
Okay.
I think it was a pretty consistent caller with y'all. I think I missed one game. I was in Kansas City on a Monday night, and I called you at 1:30 in the morning, so that was pretty.
Well, you even called us from Fouchon. When you went in Thibodeau, you even called us from Fouchon. So, and then,
yeah, but I'm kind of working, you know, and I'm want to get my sleep, so it's kind of but, hey, Bobby, I knew the Saints were going to lose this game. You watched this team all year long. They never played two halves as a unit all year long.
That's
maybe
true.
For the Dallas game, that's about it. But they got a lot of problems on this team, offense, defense, even a few special teams. On the defensive line, let's start with the defensive line. And they get to the quarterback, and they don't tackle Mayfield, and Mayfield gets bought. It's like that all year long, with any quarterback. They don't finish the quarterback.
Right.
They don't sack him.
Well, no, and the thing is, Hollywood, it's not like, okay, we face a Lamar Jackson or Jane Daniels every week.
Right.
No, we face some quarterback. Yeah, we should be facing quarterbacks that you should be able to come down with sacks. Now, we sacked Jane Daniels. I mean, they had one sack today, like Nathan Shepard. How did you not get Baker Mayfield down?
I mean,
you have to be you have to be aggressive and close the deal, but you can't be so out of control that you can't finish the tackle. You can't be worried about creaming the quarterback. How about just like get him within your grasp? So he can't go nowhere. Okay, you know who does an outstanding job with that? Hollywood, I know you watch the Bengals. He was once a Saint, Trey Hendrickson. Leads the NFL.
Yeah, we should have
17 and a half sacks. Yeah.
We should have never let that guy go to Cincinnati. We should have made him an offer and cut somebody else.
No, we should have paid him instead of Marcus Davenport. I don't care where you're drafted.
Exactly. Right. Because Marcus Davenport, you ever hear his name in it? Does he still play?
No, he got paid big money by the Vikings and got hurt. And then to show you, though, how his upside and potential, he might be have the most upside I've ever seen in a player and never be available. Then Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn brought him to the Lions and paid him again. And then guess what?
Yep.
He gets hurt again. So he's hurt with the Saints, he's hurt with the Vikings, he's hurt with the Lions, and everywhere he goes, he still gets 10 or 11 million. Wouldn't you like that kind of a job? No, that just shows you his ability. He's hell when he's well, but he's never well. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's why, I mean, Trey Hendrickson, listen, the Bengals defense, they finished strong as of late. They're not going to be in the postseason because Denver is taking care of their business. But at the end, Cincinnati defense started playing better. But the one thing, Trey Hendrickson, you ain't got to worry about him not being in the Pro Bowl All-Pro. You know how it's a team defense or team offense? Well, he was doing his damn job. It's all the people around him that weren't helping him out. All right, Hollywood. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
All right.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 254-260-1870. Taking a break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Before we get into the calls, Cajun Cannon, what you see on that text line has grabbed your attention.
Yeah, a couple of things. This is 9186. Hey, Bobby, I like your thoughts on this. In a perfect world, he said, I like Aaron Glenn as our new head coach. He's the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions right now. I want to say he played 14, I'm not 15 years in the NFL with the Jets and the Saints. He was Sean Payton trusts him a lot. He was our defensive back coach. And I know Dennis Allen, the whole connection there, trusts Aaron Glenn. And he goes, Aaron Glenn is our new head coach, and we keep Kubiak as our offensive coordinator. Then he says, your thoughts. Okay, and then another text from a couple of different people. This is 6748, and then this is 0809, John Gruden. Okay, so that's Aaron Glenn or John Gruden. I would take John Gruden. I don't know. I'm just in the mindset right now, the way the game has changed. I want an offensive head coach. Maybe I might be somewhat influenced by the success of Sean Payton. Now, I'm not saying to be a head coach and you call him the plays, but Sean Payton had that authority and he did it at a high level. But I just think an offensive-minded coach is the way the rules are structured today go in that direction. You know, John Gruden is old school, like we think, like Sean Payton. Now, he got in trouble with the emails. That probably come back to the surface when the emails between him and Bruce Allen was then the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Now, when is the what do you call that, the limitation?
Statute of limitations?
Yes. Bobby, come on, that's like 12 years ago, 12 years plus ago. Are we going to keep bringing that up? I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. But I know how society is and what they do. So does that hold back John Gruden? Okay, so when have you paid your dues away from football to maybe be given another opportunity? So I know John Gruden can coach. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. You know, like I said, Coach McCarthy with Dallas, he's a Super Bowl winning coach. They say, well, give a young coach a chance. I don't know. I'm not the owner. Whoever's the owner is the one that's going to be making that decision. And right now, the only thing I could say about the Saints organization, and I think it's not necessarily Ms. Gale or Dennis Lauscher, even though that's the chain of command, and then Mickey Loomis. They trust Mickey Loomis and what decision he's going to make as a head coach. Now, Mickey Loomis wants to be familiar with the future head coach. Why you have to be familiar with the head coach? Can a head coach impress you with an interview when he comes to talk to you and said, I think I can work with this individual or make it work? I think we need to shake things up. And we don't have to be, like, familiar with them, the whole trust factor, because being familiar with Dennis Allen, did that help us win? You understand what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to be always familiar with the individual to make it work. It has to be, they have to impress you with the interview, and then obviously the skins on the wall and their past record, or they could be up and coming. It could be up and coming, and you look at top offensive coordinators, and they could be young, very young. Okay, look at the Buffalo Bills. Who's running that offense?
Brady. We know him well from the LSU days.
Right. So would that be now? I say, well, Bobby, he's having a lot of success.
But look at the quarterback.
Look at the quarterback compared to who he would be with the Saints. And, you know, as great as Coach Brady is, and he's young, well, what in the hell he doing in Carolina?
No, I know you said, too, Slinger gets a ton of credit for what LSU, he did at LSU, too.
Coach Brady didn't call the plays at LSU.
Right.
When they won the national championship, it was Steve Ensminger calling the plays. Coach Brady helped in the red zone. And you might say, you're talking to the coaches, okay, Coach Brady, okay, what do you like on third down? Stuff like that. But actually calling the plays and telling the quarterback what to do.
Ensminger's the dude.
That was Ensminger. And now Brady has grown as a coach. Look what he's done with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is very confident with him. So when you look at, oh, who's going to be the next coach? It's going to be up to, I think, right now. Can Mickey Loomis prove to the Who Dat Nation and the Saints fan base that he can be trusted to hire the next coach? Or does he need to move up more into an executive role and be an ambassador, like represent Ms. Gale at the owners' meeting? Like I said before, I've said this on a number of shows, almost like Mr. McKay, what he's done with the Atlanta Falcons. He was once running the Falcons, and then all the blank, he's not running the Falcons anymore. But he's still like the president of the organization and the kind of the figurehead over the Pels and, you know, the Saints, but not necessarily running the football operation who we drafting and what players. Now, Mickey Loomis, they trust in Jeff. I don't know who we're going to draft. All I know is we haven't drafted the right young players as of late, and that's going to make all the difference in the world whether the Saints are going to turn things around.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The Saints fall 27-19 to Tampa in the season finale. We'll be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line is lighting up. Before we get into our callers, yeah, Cajun Cannon OC, another text has grabbed your attention.
Well, a lot of times, you know, you can't speak on both sides of your mouth, and this caller thinks, I guess I was.
Calling you out.
Calling me out, but I guess it does depend on what you view as a head coach. You know, Stephen Charlie and I was talking about this. He says, this is 11:04. Bobby, you said you prefer Vrabel. As a head coach, he's a defensive coach.
Ah.
But he's a proven head coach. Look what he's done with the Tennessee Titans, number one seed, taking them three times in the playoffs. Then you said you prefer an offensive coach. Which is it? If it's not Coach Vrabel, I'd prefer an offensive coach.
There you go. Clarified now.
Yeah, if we can get Coach Vrabel, I'd want that, no matter who's the offensive coach. Then he might want to keep Kubiak. I don't know what Coach Vrabel would want to do. I would trust him. But a lot of people is going to want Coach Vrabel. He'll have a number of opportunities. He might end up back with the Patriots. I think all of a sudden, you know, Gerard Mayo, a 1 year, you're gone. Robert Kraft, you know what? Coach Vrabel, didn't he just interview with the Jets? Oh, he can't go to the AFC East. Oh, some other teams want him. I heard he's a hot commodity. Well, that's one of us. Come on, Vrabel won Super Bowls with my team. Oh, I think I want him to be my coach. Coach Vrabel's in the driver's seat. I don't know if that's the Patriots, Saints, whatever. He'll have a lot of options. So I hope you understand what I meant by that. Look who has stroke. Who has power right now? Who's a hot commodity? Coach Vrabel is in that number. And then who would you say, Charlie, you can chime in here, the top offensive coordinator? Is it the Lions, Ben?
I would think right
Ben
now
Johnson?
It's got to be Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Is the hottest commodity for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, so you kind of look, you can grade him different. You can say old school. What about John Gruden? Now look at this and that. I'll tell you, Coach McCarthy, simply because owners and general managers look at consistency. Maybe not Jerry Jones, but now this year the Cowgirls might have disappointed you.
That's some decent drafts too.
But I'm just telling you, three straight seasons. That wasn't like a long time ago. He had won a Super Bowl a long time ago.
Right.
But they won 12 games three straight years. What NFL team? Now, ultimately, he wouldn't win the Super Bowl. Everybody would love to be like the Chiefs. But you know, stability of an organization, except for the damn spoiled Cowgirls, just having winning regular seasons. Oh, no, we got to win a championship. So we got to get rid of Coach McCarthy. Winning 12 games, and he's a lame duck. He didn't get no damn extension with Jerry Jones. So I'm telling you, the owners would jump off a cliff to get that kind of consistency. You could tell me three. If right now you could tell Ms. Gale, Mickey Loomis, or Dennis Lauscher, if you could tell them that you'd hire Mike McCarthy and in 2025, 26, 27, that the next three seasons, you're going to win 12 games a year. Now, you're not going to win nothing. You're not going to win nothing, but you're going to have that kind of winning team. The dome's packed. They would take that in a New York second. I'm telling you, that's what a lot of teams look at. That's why McCarthy still has some pull.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, going to hit up Kenneth in New Orleans. What you got for us today, Kenneth?
Hi, how you doing, Bobby?
All right, Kenneth.
I'm a long-time listener, but I'm a first-time caller. And you talked about a lot of things that I want to talk about in your rant. Teams seem to just toy with us, man. Look at the way we lose all the time. Look at those penalties by Foster Morrow,
right.
Nate Shepard, Tyrone Mathieu, even Talese Fuego. Remember that time when Penny had blocked the guy all the way to the bench, and it was a crucial play.
And then he gored him. He knocks him like 10 yards out of bounds. Like, what are you doing? That's undisciplined.
You know, like, that's what I'm saying, that kind of stuff. But anyway, just a couple things, more things I want to say. That 95-yard drive and those two 15-yard penalties doing that, the fact that we can't contain the quarterback. Remember what Jaden Daniels did?
Right.
And this is the part that I want you to comment on, Bobby, if you can. You know, we have some players on our team, like Juwan Johnson, McKinstry, I want you to grade McKinstry and tell me what you think about him. You know, and I want to say this last thing. You know, Demario Davis is good, but Demario Davis is
He was, but he's old now. Demario Davis was a dog in previous seasons, but he's an old dog now. He's an old dog you want to take for a walk and just let him use the bathroom. You don't want him. He's not a pit bull. He ain't fighting. No, and it's nothing against Demario Davis. That's where we're at. What was the other thing you had said?
About Kool-Aid McKinstry. Okay. Wanted to know what you thought of him.
Kool-Aid McKinstry's not even as good as Alante Taylor.
Ouch.
And Alante Taylor is not on the level of Paulson Adebo or Marshawn Lattimore. Now, Paulson Adebo might be a little too handsy and panics maybe at times and gets stupid penalties again. But I'm talking about as far as skill set. Alante Taylor, I think, gets the most out of his ability. Kool-Aid McKinstry has a ways to go. I'm not calling him Kool-Aid. What's his real name, Steve?
DeQuincy.
DeQuincy. He's DeQuincy McKinstry to me. He ain't earned the name. Maybe at Alabama he earned the name Kool-Aid. He ain't earned that in a Saints uniform. No. Right now, that used to be our strength in training camp. Going in the draft? Hell no. That's not a strength for us at corner. If the Raiders win, we can maybe move up to 8. Right now, I think we're at number 9. Again, whoever we pick, I don't care any position. You know, I'd said maybe running back, you know, because we got Alvin Kamara. He's still a young 30-31, you know, young. Now, I wish I could have said this about Kendra Miller. We could trust him in the future. No, I don't know if we could trust him. I don't know how much he wants to play. He's a prima donna. I don't know, whatever, Kendra Miller. And then you look at Pokemon. Now, I don't know. So running back also might be an issue. But that might be still on the back burner. But you look at every position, whoever we draft in, again,
right,
at 8 or 9, they got to start off and kick ass. And in other words, they're a rookie that's making that kind of an impact that they're a rookie pro bowler. They are that good. That's how much help we need to have the draft and young players contribute at a high level. Not no developmental. That's how desperate we are at a number of positions. Like I said, it used to be our defense is our strength. Our defense ain't our strength no more. I mean, look, we ranked 30th. If you look where our defense is at, and this is not an opinion, coming into the game, our defense is ranked 30th. We were 28th against the run, 27th against the pass. We're supposed to be at worst 12, or if not, at least in the top 10 defensively.
Looking real quick to Cajun Cannon at the NFL scoreboard brought to you by Miller Lite. Raiders not helping us now so much. At halftime, the Chargers have a 17-10 lead over Las Vegas. So
we're at number 9 still?
We're at the number 9 pick overall right now.
So we're at number 9. At least we top 10. I don't care whoever we pick, and that dude got to play right away and contribute at a high level. Now, not just be all, he's a back-end starter. No, how about a kick-ass starter? You know, so
taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Before we continue with our great callers, we're going to pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Mad, sad, fed up, how you feeling? The Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is open for all of you. 504-260-1870. Saints falling in the season finale, 27-19 at Tampa Bay. Ahmad in New Orleans, you are up next here on the Ciroc Point After. What you got for us, Ahmad?
Hey, man, I just want to see right quick. Well, this has been going on for the last half a decade. It started with this defense, man. We go out when we lose Onyemata in Rankins. We go out and get two backups. Khalil Saunders was a backup for Kansas City.
That's Davis a great Shepherd point.
Was basically a backup for the New York Jets.
Great
we
point.
We go out and get two backup nose tackles or defensive tackles and wonder why we got gaps every time somebody runs the ball down our throat.
That's true. Hey, Ahmad, you right on with that. You right on with that. No, how do we expect to stop the run if you got rotational backups? And you draft Brian Brzee, which is like a first-rounder, but he's more an interior pass rusher than a run stuffer. No, that's where it all starts. You're making a great point.
Yes, and also, our second layer of this defense, we just was talking about, and I heard y'all speaking about how Demario Davis is aging.
But once again, with this Mickey Loomis situation, he wants to congratulate a player after a fan favorite. We still talking about Steve Glinson after all these years. You know, the Saints get stuck on players and don't want to let them go. Sometimes you just have to move on from a player. You know what I mean? You're paying these guys a substantial amount of money that nobody else would be willing to pay. But
that's not a good example of Steve Gleason. Steve Gleason, they're paying him. He's doing great work for ALS.
No. They're not paying Steve Gleason. I'm speaking about, like, just our fans, the Hooters Nation. When we get stuck on a player, they refuse to want to see them go.
You could be stuck on Steve Gleason. You cannot be stuck on any veteran player, and this is every team in the NFL. You know the saying is it's better to get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. You're not compensating a player for what they've already accomplished, and Cam Jordan accomplished great things. No, we pay them that they're going to accomplish great things in the future, and that hasn't been the case. So when you look at these contracts that we have to eat this money, it's like, damn, they're not even in the Saints uniform. They ain't even playing no more. But we still have to pay them. Now, it's good for the player, but that's not good for the franchise. You understand what I'm saying?
When Carl Granderson is making $13 million, bro, nobody would pay Carl Granderson that amount of money. He got one of the top contractors as a Saints. I like the linebacker RG more than I like Pete Werner. I like the linebacker Sewell more than I like the Mario Davis. You know what I mean? The backups that we have should be starters, and the starters should be backups the way it looks. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think RG's that good. I think he's an overachiever. And Pete Werner, you make decisions. They went with Pete Werner. I think Pete Werner plays hard. But you just look at, they have three cats. Look what Caden Ellis has done with Atlanta. You look at Azzalone, what he's done with Detroit. And in the perfect example, he's a Pro Bowler now with the Eagles.
Zach Bond.
I don't know. We didn't even play them. So I think the Saints got to look at themselves. Well, we had him in-house. Are we playing the wrong players or we didn't know how to utilize them? Now think about that, Ahmad. I mean, so I to say, though, like, those guys are better to me than RG. When you look at that, Nephi Sewell, now he's been hurt. Nephi Sewell came back from the injury. Now his brother's
a death piece.
Yeah, and he's unbelievable on special teams. He's one of the outstanding players with JT Gray. But Nephi Sewell, no, he got football in the blood. Look at his kick-ass brother with the Lions, best. If not the best offensive tackle in the conversation, what he's done. But Ahmad, you make some great points there, because how are you supposed to stop the run when you got backup D tackles? When you're trying to replace your lead on your mind, now you can't pay everybody, but did you think these backup D tackles were going to work? And Brian Brzee, no, he's been outstanding since Cedric Ellis getting sacks from up the middle. You remember Cedric Ellis, all USC, 6.5 sacks? Brian Brzee got up there with 7.5 sacks. The thing is, what Brian Brzee needs to do is not only be able to sack the quarterback, but you got to be better against the run. That's, to me, one area. If we don't get better, it's going to be the same song and dance. Again, I'm going to be looking at the first month of the season next year. Are we still giving up 5 yards a run?
Time to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We shall return, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints season is over, folks. The Black and Gold finished the year 5-12, falling 27-19 at Tampa Bay in the finale. Going to get back to our callers soon here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. First up, though, what's bugging Bobby about today's game? That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. And I know last segment, Cannon, you were talking about, you know, giving up those rushing yards. I'm sure that's part of what's bugging
you
today.
Yeah, part of it. But I got a trifecta. You know, you could parlay this. And, you know, that's a favorable term that, you know, in this day and age, what's your the parlay? So what direction? No, I'm going to go away because the season is over now.
Three things are bugging you.
Yes, it's three things. Exactly. Trifecta. Okay, I'm going to start with this. I thought, well, we started off great. We were taking away the football, you know, taking away. We were intercepting the ball. You know what one thing we have not done throughout the season? I talked to Coach Rizzi at this. I don't know if you can make it bounce your way or whatever. We can create fumbles, but we don't recover. You know, we forced 14 fumbles this year. We only recovered 3. Hmm. No, that's okay. And for instance, we fumbled 16 times, and the opponent has recovered 7. So I'm going to say it again. We fumbled 14 times. I mean, the opponent has fumbled 14 times, forced 14 fumbles, and we only recovered 3. And so, therefore, we minus 2 for the season. I think next year, whatever, I don't care who's the coach, who's quarterback, who's all playing, I just try and increase the percentage to help us win. We were minus 2 for the season. Last year, we were plus 11. Can we get on the plus side? Because that's going to be key, I think, ultimately, if we're going to have, you know, the last time we've been this bad is 2005 before Katrina, when we won 3 games. They played 16, we're 3-13. You know, in 1 year, we went from 3 wins to 10 wins. In 2006, Sean Payton's first year, we were 10-6. Right. We were #2 seed. Now, that was kind of far-fetched how the stars were aligned. But still.
You also brought in Drew Brees.
Well, but yeah, still we went from like 3 wins to 10 wins. So I think one thing to help us to turn around to go from 5 wins, maybe to get to double digits, would be that turnover margin. I'm not saying you got to be double digit plus 10, plus 11. That would help, but you can't be minus. So a minus 2 for the season. So that has to change. That's the first thing. The next thing offensively, trying to set the tone, ebb and flow. We cannot be 36% conversion. That's overall. That means you're not sustaining drives. You're not dictating the tempo. You're not helping out your defense. You know, defensive players love it when the offense, but when you keep their behind on the bench. And when they go out there, they're well-rested and all that, so you can look at, like, the number of plays and all what's occurred. But, like, for instance, today, the Saints were 3 of 13, 23%. Against the Raiders, like I said earlier, we were only 1 of 10 on third down. So that's bugging me, 36%. No, that should be, I'm not saying we got to lead the league. That should be 46% on third down offense. And now the third thing, that was the second thing. The third thing is you got to be able to stop the run. And back-to-back games, Abdullah with the Raiders, here's an old veteran, never gotten 100 yards in his life.
Until.
And he's played like a decade until he played the Saints. They were last in the league, only getting 77.5 yards a game. And they had 80-some yards in the first half. They ended up at 150. So it seems like every game we've been giving up like 5 yards or more a carry. And that's been on the season. Well, today, Tampa Bay, who can run the ball well. Now, that didn't surprise me because coming into the game, Carolina was the 4th best rushing attack in the NFL. Well, that didn't surprise me that they had 179 yards rushing, an average 5.8. So closer to 6 than 5. So I'm going to be looking to start the season the first month of September, or in that plus side, the turnover margin. How are we dictating the ebb and flow of a game? Are we converting on third down offensively? To help our team, and then the turnover margin, and then can we stop a team? Can we hold them maybe to 3.8 yards a carry? So that's what's bugging me about this season and the recent games, and even the game today against the Buccaneers.
Stepping away here on the Ciroc Point after Celebrate Life Responsibly, we shall return after these messages on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point after Celebrate Life Responsibly, Cajun Cannon, you always talk about the nation, the Who Dat Nation. Well, our next caller, Ernest, all the way in Los Angeles. What you got for us today, Ernest?
Listen, first of all, Happy New Year, and you know, I'm with y'all. I go to my games when they're out here in California. I come home, you know.
Right.
I said if we only win one game, Mr. Steve and Mr. Bobby, if we only win one game, you see I still got my accent, too. If we only win one game this year, we'll beat them Cowgirls.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You've come to the right place, Ernest.
Now, the only thing, Ernest, that would have been better You beat the Cowgirls and you sweep the Falcons. Atlanta.
Oh, for sure.
You know, think about, I'll tell you, there have some fans that have come up to me and they're still old school thinking. They go, well, you know what? The season is never as bad as you think if we could sweep Atlanta and beat Dallas. I'm beat the Cowboys. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I said, well, that's not a winning record. He says, well, I don't think we're going to do anything anyway. A guy comes to me, I don't think we're going to do anything anyway. But we win those games. I have a lot of friends that are in Atlanta or friends in Texas. They all talk about
bragging rights.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Cousins.
Yeah, cousin, your cousins. Yeah, cousins.
But listen, your son. I listen to T-Bob every morning. Okay. I'm linked in, but I want to make some points here.
Okay.
I would bring in. I would love to see if they would consider the Mungerin from, I don't know how to pronounce his name, from Baltimore, and Coach
Todd Monken.
Yeah, I got a couple guys that I really love and cherish. One of them's name is Mr. Aper, and the other guy's name is Mr. McAllister. I want y'all to be a part of the next leadership. You know, my main point is we need people who love New Orleans and love Louisiana when they come in there. Kool-Aid doesn't like us, okay? For every reason, he's got this sourpuss attitude. Forgive me for saying that. But when you come to New Orleans, we're open people. And he just seems like not a New Orleans person. Another person like that was a receiver. I can't think of his name, but he was in Cleveland. Now he's with Buffalo. But he never liked New Orleans, okay? All right? Zion doesn't like New Orleans. AD doesn't like New Orleans. All of these people, we need.
Yeah, I don't know about Zion.
With Zion, he just stealing money. He was too young, got paid too much money instead of having to work for it. So why is Zion always hurt and LeBron James, as old as he is, he's played all those games? I don't know. You got to be a pro. You got to be a pro how you train. Now you're going to have bad luck now and then with injuries, but you can't be hurt all the time. There comes a case in point where you got to answer the bell. I don't know. Who's talking about from Cleveland to Buffalo? I don't know who that individual is.
Charlie was speculating maybe Amari Cooper.
There's no Saints connection there.
Right? No. But he was just saying that went from the Cleveland Browns to the Buffalo Bills. So that's why we thought it might be Amari that he's talking about.
Yeah. So he was it the Raiders and then Cleveland and then he went to Buffalo. No, I mean, people could be mercenaries. You just got to, I don't know how you check a player's heart and to know where they're coming from. But don't, as far as me and Deuce a lot younger than I am.
I know both of my guys, though, have no interest in coaching.
No, Ernest, there's a lot of hours you got to put in. and I can tell you this, the hours you got to put in. That I end up be living at the facility. I'm too OCD. I would be a workaholic, and that would probably not be good for my health because I would take it too personal. I think Ms. Gale, and I think Dennis Schlauscher, and I think Mickey Loomis, they've been here long enough. I know Dennis Schlauscher went to Jesuit and all, and Ms. Gale's been here. But Mickey has been here long enough. He is a New Orleanian now. And I think he wants to win as much as anyone, born and raised in New Orleans.
Maybe you and Deuce could be consultants.
No, they probably say, well, you can give us your opinion and then squirt like a cup of coffee. they could care less about that. But the thing is, sometimes, though, it's hard. Whenever you have power, it's hard to humble yourself. Maybe you don't need that power anymore. You could still be in an administrative role and you can advise people. But when you're not in charge, you're not making those decisions, I'm telling you, deep down, Mickey Loomis, you cannot tell me different. Mickey Loomis wants to win without Sean Payton and Drew Brees. That it didn't work with Dennis Allen, so whoever he brings in now, he'd want to be able to win because, now, fair or unfair, does Mickey Loomis get any credit? Now, he's the one who brought Sean Payton on board.
Right, so he needs to find the next Sean.
Because of what ends up happening is that when you talk about the Saints winning a Super Bowl, now, they might mention Mickey Loomis now and then, but who gets the credit?
Brees and Payton.
And probably Brees more than Payton. Oh, like does the coach make the player or the player makes the coach? I think it's a combination. But you always tend to go with the quarterback more than the coach. Tom Brady versus Belichick. Hmm. What happened there? But it still takes both of them. So, okay, when you think about it deep down, unless you truly know the Patriots, who in the hell was running the show with the Patriots besides Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? You can't even name who that son of a gun is. Well, from an outsider, that's how Mickey Loomis is. Oh, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, who you think led the Saints to win a championship? Oh, Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They ain't mentioned Mickey Loomis. Now, the insiders might say that, but that's why I'm telling you, Mickey wants to be able to all of a sudden turn that the page from Drew Brees and Sean Payton and win for the future. Now, I don't know, can he humble himself if it doesn't work out? We're not running him out of town to maybe stay on board and be, take an advisory role to Ms. Gayle. Like I said, said this before, like Mr. McKay is with Atlanta and be an ambassador. Be a Saints ambassador. I mean, I don't know. You go to an owner's meeting, do all that kind of stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of fans right now that they do not trust Mickey Loomis with the Saints' future and who he's going to bring on board. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just telling you that's what I hear from fans all the time.
I trust all you hoodads will hang tight, though. We're going to take a break. Be back with more of the Ciroc Point after. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rolling along here on the Ciroc Point after. Celebrate life responsibly. And it's now time for our Ciroc Toast to the Saints Player of the Game. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka and toast who, Cajun Cannon, is your Player of the Game today.
Well, I wanted to give it. Boy, I tell you what, if I could have given it in halftime.
Your first half Player of the Game.
The first, I'd be like Juwan Johnson. Are you kidding me? The
yeah,
first
like
three,
a man possessed.
The first three receptions, 19 yards, 15 yards, 20. 26 yards. He ended up having all of a sudden 69 yards on five receptions, and then he ended up with six receptions for 80 yards. Eh. So, and then Spencer Rattler. I mean, look, he's like a tale of two halves. Was this Pete and repeat, rinse and repeat? I mean, kind of like the Raiders. I mean, look, Spencer Rattler, and he said this for the game, he was striving to have a complete game instead of just two quarters. So I have to give it to Nephi Sewell. Considering
Nephi.
The adversity coming back from the knee injury, the Ed Block Courage Award winner, voted by the players. He had eight total tackles, which was second behind DeMarco Davis's nine. But he ended up with a sack, two quarterback hurries, and led the team with two tackles for a loss. So, Nephi Sewell.
Yeah, he's a menace today.
Nephi Sewell, I think the Picayune Advocate, they did an interview with him. I think it was in today's paper. And it was along these lines that he said, no, I'm playing football right now because I'm sacrificing and the rehab and the long hours and all that to provide a lifestyle for my kids and to give them opportunities. So, when you look at a player, and sometimes when you have a family and you're supporting that family, you're not only representing yourself, but you're representing your family in that Sewell name. And we all know his studly brother. There's a lot of competition in that family who plays the Detroit Lions, probably the best offensive tackle in that conversation. So Nephi Sewell, and he's been a warrior. He has been an unbelievable player when you look at on special teams. And Coach Rizzi has acknowledged that. And you look at, we all know like JT Gray. JT Gray, if you look at it, had 26 tackles, leading the NFL on special teams. So when you look at who's contributing at the highest level, and you look at Nephi Sewell, and Coach Rizzi said this, no, he's like one of our best special teams players that, now he wants to play regular defense, but he's going to contribute at that at a high level in the future going forward. So good for Nephi Sewell. So I'm going to give it to him, Steve.
Back on the Ciroc Point after, going to head to our phone lines, and we're going to hit Lance and Lafayette. What you got for us today, Lance? I see head coaching search.
Yes, sir. So I was reading something this morning before the game. And by the way, Bobby, real quick, I remember when you used to have your place on Toledo Bend every 4th of July. We'd go up there for your big fireworks show you used to do up there.
Right, right. Yeah, I did that. I did it for 20 years. I did it from 1992 to 2012. And then I told my kids, I said, y'all can keep doing it, but y'all got to pay for it. I said, okay. And then, so, you know, there was enough of that. That wasn't going to happen. But, yeah, it's still in the family. I got my ex-wife to buy the place. So now I could go there for free, and I don't have to pay for nothing. So it's still in the family.
There you go. All right. Well, no, my question was, I was reading something this morning, and they were talking about, you know, different head coaches we could hire. And, of course, Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, Aaron Glenn.
Right.
You know, those three guys came up. But they had an interesting one that popped up that kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I don't particularly like the guy, but Matt Nagy. What do you guys think about him?
Well why? Give me a reason why. You want to get the Who Dat Nation discouraged? And, like, okay, because you look at, okay, well, what does every team really look at? Who's our head coach and who's the damn quarterback? So if you all of a sudden, the rumors are out there, okay, it might be a revolt. We might have another coup. If you had Matt Nagy and Daniel Jones, okay, this is our quarterback for next year. We're going with Daniel Jones and Matt Nagy. People might say, oh, I'm just going to the LSU game. I don't know about going to the Saints game. I'm telling you, people would revolt against that. That's just my opinion. I don't know if fans agree with that, but I think a lot of them would take the approach, what? Daniel Jones, well, you might as well go with Derek Carr or Matt Nagy. Well, we got better options than him. Go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. That's why I kind of laughed at it when I saw it, because they were...
He got run off in Chicago. Matt Nagy got run off in Chicago.
Could be a case when his agent's working overtime here, putting that story out there.
That could be the leakage behind the scene with the agent and all. Yeah, that could be. But that is not coming from the Saints, I don't think.
No, obviously the Chiefs offensive coordinator, he was then, was there for a while, ended up becoming the Bears head coach.
Who's the coordinator for the damn Chiefs? Andy Reid.
Right, but then... Now he's back with the offensive coordinator there. But basically, like you said, that's just a title.
That's a title. I mean, Coach Lombardi, who was the offensive lineman I played with? He was with the head coach at Syracuse. He was the offensive line coach that we fired. I can't think of that. Doug Marrone. Marrone one time was the offensive coordinator for the Saints.
Right.
What does that mean? Sean Payton's running the team. Andy Reid is running the damn Chiefs offense. So who was the coach that just got fired, I think, by UCLA? He might have been in Washington, the black coach.
I was about to say Chip Kelly, but no.
No, Charlie, I got to have him out here. I could see his face right now. Eric Bieniemy.
Okay, yeah.
Eric Bieniemy.
Right, he was the hot name for a while.
Okay, hot name. I think they ran him out of town in UCLA.
Yep.
What has he done? So, no, that's why. Oh, he's with the Chiefs. Well, hell, he's coaching Pat Mahomes. He should have success, and that's why. No, that ain't working. What did he do with the Bears? Nothing. No, we don't want him here in New Orleans. Sorry.
We're here in the Ciroc Point After. Going to take a break. Be back with more of your calls, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints lose 27-19 in Tampa Bay in the season finale. We're talking about it here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to get right into it with your callers. Patrick in Houston, you are up next. What you got for us today, Patrick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Always good to hear from you, Bobby. I wanted to call you guys regarding the, of course, the head coaching situation with New Orleans Saints and the name Todd Monken, former Southern Mississippi head football coach. He tutored Nick Mullins, who's been in the league for about 10 years now. I really think, I know he's older, he's soon to be, I think, 59 years of age, but I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he deserves a shot. I think
that's a good call. Patrick, let me elaborate a little bit. I know Todd Monken. When Tebow was being recruited by LSU, he was the wide receiver coach for LSU. This is going back to 2006, so this is a long time when you think about that. Then he left LSU, went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now we all know him as the offensive coordinator with the Ravens. I think the only thing is, I think he's learned. You know, you learn and you grow as a coach. I'm like rushing attempts. How did they get to the playoffs last year? And I think he's learned from that, that when they lost in the playoffs, we didn't have more rushing attempts. Why are we putting so much pressure on Lamar to pass the football? And now they have Derrick Henry. I think he knows that Derrick Henry, even as great as Lamar Jackson is, he could potentially be the MVP of the whole league. That Derrick Henry, come the postseason, has to touch the football 20-some times running it, or whatever, or, you know, short a screen or whatever, how are you going to get him the ball? So I think Todd Monken's a big part of success, and Zay Flowers, now he hurt his knee, and what they do in offensively with the Ravens. I know John Harbaugh thinks highly of him. So, Patrick, that's a good call with Todd Monken and what how he's grown as a coach and put himself in this position.
I agree, guys. I think he deserves a shot. I would love to see him back in sort of the Gulf Coast area, an area that he knows well due to his affiliation with LSU and then Southern Mississippi.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'd like to see it come to fruition. Thanks, guys.
Happy All right, Patrick.
Year. Thanks, Patrick. We're going to go to line two now. Devin in New Orleans. What you got for us, Devin?
How you doing, Bobby? How you doing, guys?
All right, Devin.
I had a couple points. The first one, I don't want to stick on too long because it's old, but it was something from last week, and I just wanted to offer a slightly different opinion and just see what your response was. You said you think Alvin is better than Reggie, right? Last week? Well, last week you had said that. And
I thought even Darren Sproles is better than Reggie Bush. I thought Reggie Bush and the expectations, we expected him to be Superman. There couldn't have been a better player drafted than bringing Reggie Bush on board and giving us hope. I mean, it was unbelievable, the hype with Reggie Bush coming to the Saints. He was like Superman at USC. Now, he can never live up to those expectations. But I'm talking about not only a pass receiving running back, you look at total yards of scrimmage, all-purpose running back. I think Reggie Bush was outstanding. I think Alvin Kamara and Darren Sproles was better than Reggie Bush.
I just think if Reggie would have played today in this game, because he was more of a receiving back, and that was just a little not as used back then, I just think he would have been amazing. Like, he just missed.
He was playing with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, so I don't understand your point there, because they all play with basically Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Go ahead.
I just feel like the game, I guess, is more suited to him in this game, this modern game, just based off the...
Well, he ain't that old. You act like Reggie Bush played in the 80s or something. No, Reggie Bush played...
I just mean how the modern offense is compared to what it was back then. Not that he's old, just...
I'm a Reggie Bush fan. I think Reggie Bush would make everybody's team a contributor on a high level. To say he's a Hall of Famer, no. I would think, who's a Hall of Famer? That's hard to describe. Who's truly a Hall of Famer? I think Derrick Henry's a damn Hall of Famer. I think Saquon Barkley's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I'm talking about pro football. I ain't talking about Saints or Louisiana.
Do you think Alvin Kamara could be a Hall of Famer?
Not right now.
Okay.
No. You have to look at it as a whole. I think Darren Sproles and what he did is more of a Hall of Famer than Reggie Bush, and he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. He might be in the Kansas State Hall of Fame or whatever, and what he did with the Chargers and all that. No, in fact, it's a whole different level. You could be very good and be even elite at times. It doesn't mean you're a pro football Hall of Famer. You know who's more consistent through the years? And considering he surpassed Ricky Jackson, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, part of the Dome Patrol is Cam Jordan. When you go look at Cam Jordan's numbers, when all said and done, and he always answered the bell, Cam Jordan, I know it's a different position, Cam Jordan is more a Hall of Famer than Reggie Bush, Alvin Kamara, or Darren Sproles. I know it's a different position, but I'm going to say, well, watch what I'm telling you.
And I agree with that.
That when you look, how are you going to make it or not make it? No, it's hard to make it. And listen, I love Reggie Bush. I love Darren Sproles, Alvin Kamara. I love all of them. But I'm just telling you. I love Deuce McAllister. Look at Deuce McAllister.
Hey, Bobby,
look at Mark Ingram. They're all top running backs for the Saints. They're not Pro Football Hall of Famers. Come on. Okay, go ahead.
Can I say one thing on Rattler and Nicky?
Sure.
I think Rattler looks pretty good today. At the end, I think that comes with the experience, and maybe he'll have that next year. The end, he just missed the precision on a couple of throws.
Yeah, exactly. The receivers want him. You got to hit that. That's what we take for granted. Drew Brees hit that all the time. And that's what Spencer needs to do.
I do think if he had the first team receivers, those chances of those being catched, that's a good point.
Throw behind somebody.
No, you don't throw behind somebody. But that's a good point, Devin. I think about Spencer Rattler, what he did this year. He definitely bought himself two or three more years in the NFL. Now you play again, then you take advantage of that. To say he's going to be a franchise quarterback, no, he didn't even win a freaking game yet. No, but he's an NFL quarterback. He's more an NFL quarterback, I can tell you right now, than Haener. Haener needs to give my number back to that kicker, that number three. No, Haener looked overwhelmed. Spencer Rattler's getting better and better. Now he needs to play four quarters instead of two quarters. You know, and I think that's where he's at right now.
Stepping away here on the Ciroc Point After. When we get back, we'll wrap things up right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Winding down the season finale of the Ciroc Point After. Let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints fall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-19 in the season finale. New Orleans finishes the year with a 5-12 record, Cajun Cannon, definitely way below, I know, the prognostications that we all made here.
No, I thought worst case scenario. I don't care what you do in injuries. I thought worst case scenario they'd be 7-10. So no, 5 wins totally unacceptable, and I think the Saints organization realizes that.
Well, that is a wrap, Cajun Cannon. You and Mike DeTellier will be back at it tomorrow on the Treasure Chest Casino Second Guest Show.
No, Silver Slipper.
Silver Slipper
Silver
Casino.
Slipper,
I'm getting all my casinos
messed up.
That's right.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.